Okay, here we go. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2.
Titus 2.
Just one Titus. There's only one. Titus is one. Timothy's got two.
I was thinking of Timothy.
Yeah, Titus has just got one.
Titus chapter
2. Chapter 2. Okay. Now again, he spent the most of chapter 1. Titus is also another pastor. Now Titus was sent to the island of Crete. C-R-E-T-E.
Yep.
So he left Titus in Crete to ordain elders and to establish the church. Interesting thing, if you look back a little further at chapter 1, verse 12, one of themselves, he's talking about one of the Crete. I'm sorry, Timothy. First and Second Timothy, Titus. You just got here. We just got started. Yep.
Amen.
We're all running slow. We're all running late. Yeah, I thought you were from Croatia. Yeah, I know. I got that too. Yeah. Yeah, and then they had an appointment, so they just got here. So. Yep. So we're recording. We're recording. It's 8 o'clock. So let's go ahead and get started in our study here. All right. You got your Bible? You got your Bible?
No, because...
We got one out there.
I'll get you one. You're tired.
Eight hours. Everyone
yeah.
Hours.
Okay, Titus chapter
8
2.
8 hours a day. I never worked.
I know. There's one right there.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Well, let's just thank the Lord that we're all here. Father, we just rejoice. Thank you that you're so good to us. Thank you, Lord God, that you just bring into pass everything that you promised. We agree with that. We believe that because you said it and you're good for your promise. We believe that you're good for everything that you said, even though the enemy comes in and comes in like a flood. Hey, here's all the stuff I'm going to dump on you. And we say, no, 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 no. I believe God and I don't believe you. I believe God and I don't believe you. I believe God and I don't believe you. I don't even believe me. Hallelujah. I don't even believe me, all my unbelief. I cast off all my unbelief right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that your word is true. You said, let God be true, and every man, including me, be a liar. I'm a liar. I'm just, because I'll believe anything. But I thank you, Lord God, that you're coming in, and you're making me to believe the truth. You're showing me the truth. And we just give you praise for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, thank you for bringing... jobs and monies and provisions to everybody in this room. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And healing, Father, for those
yes.
who are in
healing.
Need, which are all of us, but
yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Holy,
holy.
Blood.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Barbara right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for healing Barbara, that back of hers that's trying to go out and be out and put it back in. In the name of Jesus, every herniated disc, let it be unherniated. Let it just be perfected. In the name of Jesus, let her legs be in perfect condition. In the name of Jesus, bless her. Heal her. Strengthen her. Hallelujah. Thank you for Deanna. Lord, strengthen her body. Cause her not to be weakened by the work that she's doing. Give her strength. Lord, let her strength be renewed like the eagle in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Holy is your name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You heal our diseases. Oh, like a separate the Baba Sani may you have to
call.
Yes. Father, we lift up Pastor Jim and Peggy and all those in India right now. Father, thank you that you're protecting them from all the weird food in Jesus' name. That you're blessing them, that you're causing them to be ministers of the gospel and not afraid and not hindered in any way. Lord, Father, let those who are against them be put out of the way in the name of Jesus. Let the gospel go forward in a mighty way. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for blessing Chad, Lord, in Moldova. Thank you, Lord God, for touching everyone whom he comes in contact with. Give them just such a wonderful blessing and peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Okay,
you got to speak up, though.
Okay. This job, I was supposed to do spending hours a week, and the God gave me favor with selling. During holidays, they sold the most 2,000 to 3,000. In January, when everyone is broke and no one has money, I sold 4,000.
Hallelujah.
And this was God.
Amen. Hey, yes. Amen.
I don't know, you know,
so, you could work for us.
So, she told me that she might not have any hours by the end of January, and now I'm having 40 hours every day. I never work this much. 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
No good shoes, but I said I'm not going to complain.
Amen.
So I'm able to get through.
Amen.
And I'm expecting a big check on February.
Amen. Guess new shoes. New
shoes. And some
amen.
And,
hallelujah. Yahoo.
Yeah,
glory to God.
I
glory to God.
Oh,
amen. God. So God's blessing.
Huh?
God's blessing you amazingly.
Yeah.
Amen.
I have another job which I'm going to see if I can, with the very, you know, that I did partner,
mm-hmm.
again in the race.
Amen.
But see if I can, so we'll talk about
we'll it. Agree, yeah. Amen.
I don't worry. Hey, you know what? I didn't even ask, but I kind of, my heart is there, you know. By the way, you know, I went to Chico, whatever, you know, and I wait for you guys there. I was going to have just El Chico. I was going to have just a cup of coffee, you know, not eat because money-wise.
Yeah.
I went there, no one showed up, and they put that chips in salsa, so I ate it and I'm going to come. So I said,
actually, you should have had faith, because we ended up going elsewhere, and then with the place we went, it was no good.
Huh?
So we ended up there.
Back
I know,
chips.
I found it later. But I ate this chip, so I said, well, you know what? My friends are not here. They kind of tricked me. So let me pay for this chip. So she said, it's free. I said, well, in that case, I'll stay a little longer. So,
amen.
But, you know, I'm not sure. I don't
amen.
Care because I didn't have money for, you know. That. So I
perfect.
Had chips and salsa. And then I went to Whole Foods store on Coit, and because I know how they operate,
yeah.
You know, they free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I ate there. And then
amen.
I
we were grazing.
Amen. Grazing from place to place. Amen. Well, let's go.
Okay.
Let's go now.
Yeah, it
amen. One of themselves.
It's fine.
Verse 12 of chapter 1. I'm going to share this part of the story.
Okay.
See, this is a prophet of their own. This is one of the Cretans. So, in other words, Titus is hearing from Paul. Titus is sent to be the pastor there in Crete. And he says now in verse 12, he says, one of their own people. He's a prophet. He says, the Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and slow bellies.
Oh, man.
That is awful. Isn't that awful? He's one of the prophets.
Tell
prophet. You know why Pastor Jim, he says he's a prophet. That's it. You know, he talks about all of us. Liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies.
I don't think I've read that.
Anyway, so he says, verse 13, Paul says, this testimony is true. This witness is true. You know what? He's right. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. See, what's his point? What's he want you to do? Be sound in the faith. Here's what he wants for us, is to be sound in the faith. Not in our own mind, not in our own ideas, not in our own thought of, you know, here's what I think. Oh, God said this. Well, you know what I think. You know, and you just make up your own. So you hear half of it and you go off on your own. No, you want to have sound doctrine, clear doctrine, based on the Word, based on promises, based on what God said, not based on what you thought God wanted. Okay? So he says that. Now, so in other words, he's looking at the Cretes. Well, the Cretans are probably about like us. Amen? Hallelujah. Liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. Actually, they're probably better than us. No, they're better. I'm going to make them better. I'm a liar, an evil beast, and a slow belly. We're not talking about your spirit. We're talking about flesh. Talk about the old man that still kind of kicks around. He is dead. But somehow he still pops up from time to time. You ever seen him? Every morning? Yeah. That's why, you know why God's mercies are new every morning? You know why God's mercies are new every morning? Because that guy gets up every morning. He's always getting up. He's kind of like, golly, man, can't that guy just die in his sleep? Wish he'd just die in his sleep one day. Maybe just Jesus would get up. You know, maybe one morning. Man, you keep waking up. Jesus does, but it seems like that other guy does. So he says, not giving heed to Jewish fables. That is, Jewish is like when we're in Galatians, you know, when he's talking about, you know, doing the work. Come on, keep doing the works.
Traditions.
Jewish traditions and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Okay, now let's look down to chapter 2. Otherwise, we'll just keep talking about chapter 1. We did that last to get the tape from last week. Chapter 2, but speak you, now he's talking to Titus, speak you the things which are fitting with, fit with sound doctrine, with proper doctrine. Now here's what it is. Like this, that the aged men, the old men, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and in charity or in agape. Agape. Sound in agape. That is, what is Titus 2, 2?
Yeah,
it's totally different.
Women?
No, that's the next verse. That's 3. Back up one. The aged men, they be sober. That is, you know, not, it doesn't mean just not drunk. Sober means having, not foolish. Not foolish. Be sober. Be grave. That is, again, you know, having a sound demeanor. Not just an idiot. Temperate. That is, not abundant in the things of this world, but temperate. You know, not an overeater. Not an angry man. Sound in the faith, in charity. And see, the aged men could be compared to elders, all right? So, but this is not just the elders, but this is all the men in the church. All the men in the church. That they should be in sound in faith, in agape, and in patience. All right, so in other words, so that earlier in chapter 1, he talked about how the elders to be ordained should have these qualifications. But he's not only talking about the elders now. Titus gets to where he's talking about just the men of God in the church, just the people in the church. So in other words, just people are supposed to be look like the elders. The people are supposed to look like the elders when they're done. It's going to, well, it's okay for the pastor, but you know, we're just regular folks, you know. You know, we got beer in the fridge. Huh?
You are the elder, right?
Right. Right, exactly. Well, hopefully not too much. Don't look too close. Pastor, elder, bishop, all the same.
Actually, isn't it true that, I hate to use a philosophical word, but idealistically, to walk in a church, a true church of God, and not be able to tell the difference from the pastor from just the person?
Sure, because, I mean, and that's scriptural, because what Jesus says, when a disciple is fully taught, he'll be like his
master.
Well, we're not going to surpass Jesus, but...
No, not Jesus, but yeah. Like you and Pastor Jim.
Mm-hmm. Well, even in the sense that Jesus even said that, is that the things that I do, and you'll do greater things. Probably just because you got more time.
No, I don't think I would, but I think I read
this. I think you should.
Jim did explain it, but I still don't
think... No, you need to think as you will. You can. You are able. Don't say that you can't.
Yeah, don't look at you. No. Otherwise, you're looking at you. So you just down with, so you just crucify that old man. Okay, old man, you're dead.
Yeah, well, that's...
And you continue to worship God. See, looking at yourself never helps.
It does it. We do it too much.
Because I get depressed.
I
look at me, I get depressed. They're going to be taking pictures, you know. No, it says that God is in you to both, A and B, both to will and to do.
But you see, this guy, would you imagine that the other guys, they reached that, you know, they did what Jesus did. Because he said, no one took my father's life, he gave it.
Mm-hmm.
So his father did like
so he's a better person than you.
Yes.
Not. No.
Yes.
Absolutely not. Okay, I'm going to take you to the scripture. No, it's not true. Everyone is exactly the same. I'm not talking about works, outward works. What I'm talking about is from the heart, and now every person, man, woman, has the opportunity and the potential in and through God to produce the same fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Perfect. Now, you need to begin to say that and agree with that. Not looking, oh, well, I'll never be there. But yes. No, don't be honest.
I'm coward.
No, you're not. No, you're the greatest witness
you've
we know.
Honest,
you're
a
mighty
true.
Witness.
You need to be true now. Because honest...
See, it's not that we're not hearing you. It's not that I'm not hearing you. No, you don't understand. Here's how I am, as you say. And I say, I hear that. But I don't believe the Scripture agrees with that to leave you there. And I believe that God works in you mightily and that you are becoming outwardly a more and more powerful witness. And what you do is not looking behind but pressing forward. So we always, and you seem to not like that teaching. You seem to prefer to stay with your observances. Forgetting those, look what the Bible say. Forgetting those things. What about the guy who didn't get saved until he's 70? Whoever. He wasted 70 years. Hallelujah. Now here's what the thing. It's only because you've seen your sin and you've repented. See, I will never let you go. Never, ever. Because you would be built up and encourage that God is in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when you fail, you repent and you say, Jesus, I failed. Thank you for forgiving me. And I will continue to believe you.
Please help me. Why am I so rotten? No good. You know, I want to obey you. I want to know you. I want to...
Again, we're always kind of going back on that same treadmill. No, no. Don't ever go back there. Don't ever go. Always walking in thankfulness and thanksgiving. And quit looking at those things which,
selfish.
When you fail,
Houston and I do it all the time, and it's so self-consuming.
I've learned that
I can hear you, and you sound like us, and it's sick.
It's self.
Yeah, but when I go back and forth, I also sound like you.
Okay,
good.
Just look at Him, and look at Him, His beauty, and His beauty, and His loving kindness, and His mercy. And just get mixed up. With that, I can be a very big condemnation guy, but I push that all aside and I go forth and I just say, Jesus, just thank you. Oh, yeah. He doesn't want me to do that. He just wants me to fall in love with Him deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yes.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Then forget about that other stuff. Forget about it. Forget about it.
He's like,
cool. And it's again not that it's like, right. Oh, we're tired of hearing that. No, what it is that we want you to come. And not be overwhelmed by that.
Yeah, because you're loved.
Right?
You are loved with a very big love.
Now, you just may be sharing that.
But you know what? God tells us not to compare each other. It's
no,
really...
I don't compare myself to anybody.
Yeah, he thinks you're perfect. Just the way you are. You're perfect.
But it's really difficult.
Oh, he already told you that, right?
It's really difficult not to compare.
He already said that. He already said that in his word. No, he's already told you that in his word. That, well, you're comparing yourself to Jim Elliot, say.
Oh,
that's a comparison.
Yeah.
See how much worse. The comparison. Yes, right here on this tape, yes. The thing is that the comparisons that we make are neither to those who are, oh, well, I'm better than that person. That's just as wicked. That's the other, which is, oh, that person is so much better than me.
Is that as
wicked as the other?
There you go. That's powerful.
You felt condemned?
What you just said was very powerful.
You felt condemned? Okay, condemned. That's okay. Convicted. Then you thank God, because when your conviction is, well, it's not Jesus saying, you should be like him. What's the matter with you? That's not Jesus.
Not even, I know that's condemned.
Right. Exactly. Oh, perfect. Then what you do? Then how do we get there? How do we get there? By looking at him, by worshiping, by thanking him, by knowing what his promise is. And when we fail, to instantly get forgiveness. The clue, the key is to instantly get forgiven. That's it. Believe it or not, it's not to do better, but to get forgiven.
Yeah. And I know all
to receive forgiveness,
yeah.
Not to get it like he's holding back. Praise God. Me too. Amen. I don't want to see my fingernails cut. Is that a bad movie? I don't want to see that movie. Those people, they pull your fingernails out or stuff. China.
I want to read Titus. I don't want to talk about
Titus. All right. Praise God. Let's get back to Titus. We'll get back to Titus. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. All right. Yeah, the people on the tape, they're waiting for Titus. Praise the Lord. So we had the aged men who are being sober, grave. Now look at the aged women. Praise the Lord. You know, in this day, aged women probably somewhere over 30. I mean, talking about these guys. If the women are over 30, they're... if you're over 30, then this applies.
Oh, yeah, because they got married when they were 12.
And they didn't live, and most people didn't live that long.
I like the point that I will not speak anymore
again,
because my...
No, no, no,
did.
No, that's not. That's it. That's not the. That's,
yeah,
amen. Okay, here we go. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness. Not false accusers. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. It becomes holiness, not false accusers. You ever heard of women being false accusers?
Yeah.
You ever heard of women being given to wine, a little wine in the house? Mm-hmm. Teachers of good, let them be teachers of good things. That they may do what? What are the aged women supposed to be doing? Verse 4.
Teaching their children.
Well, first
young
of all,
women.
Teaching young women. Isn't that good? See, so those of you who have been in the faith should be teaching younger women to be sober. And if they have husbands, to love their husbands. If they have children, to love their children. To be discreet. Now that talks about with your tongue, doesn't it? Not chatty. Not giving every secret. To hold things close. You know, remember what Mary did when she received the word from the Lord? You remember? What did Mary do when she got the... No, I need an answer. You remember what Mary did? Mary, when she received the word from the angel, she kept all these things in her heart. She didn't say it. She didn't talk about it. Amen? To be discreet, chaste, has to do with your actions, your dress, the way you dress. Being chaste is not to be suggestive or to be immodest, but to rather be to hold things, hold your person as something that is to be your temple, as to be guarded and not to be displayed openly. So be discreet, to be chaste.
Is that North Park Mall, right?
Well, depends on what store you go to, I imagine.
That's powerful because
to be keepers at home. Keepers at home. Does that mean stay at home? And then what that means is not to be busybodies. Not out just always doing something just to be doing something. But make sure the home is covered. Making sure the home is covered. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. Oh boy, we don't like that, do we? Obedient to their own husbands. Now, husbands, how many know husbands are idiots? How many know husbands, apart from Jesus Christ, are fools? And so that's why we go back to, he talked to the men first. Be sober, be grave, be temperate, be sound in faith, in unconditional love toward your wife, in patience. Toward your wife. Patience. Hallelujah. Then that's how come a woman can be obedient to that guy. Because he's a man of God. Because he's a man who, what? Loves her. Agape is what? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up totally for that church. Is that a husband? Yes. Husbands don't rule with an iron hand. Husbands rule with a pillow. I mean, they rule with sweetness, with blessing, with love, with mercy, with tenderness. That's how a husband rules. He rules to serve his wife.
He's can rule me when he's real sweet, but once he starts getting the upper hand, kind of like dominating, or, you know, I can't ever. I'm like, there's no way. I'll do anything for him when he's being sweet.
And that's what the Lord is talking about. It says that unconditional love. Not because he knows. How many know that? It's true. That's it. Okay, now. This here. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not dishonored, be not blasphemed. See, in other words, people are looking at your family. Amen?
Yeah.
People are looking at your life. People look at your life and they see what God's doing. That's what he's doing. That's what it's all about. They're watching you. Nobody sees inside your head. Everybody sees what your action, what your life is like. And again, this is all about coming into the presence of God and knowing Him, being thankful, walking before Him, hearing Him, knowing that you're a wicked person without Him, and knowing that He is in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. This is what this is for. It's to show and to speak that this is what a godly man, a godly woman looks like. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? Over in Galatians we read that the fruit of the works of the flesh are obvious. They're manifest, which is all kinds of evil and wickedness. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace. So he's given two different scenarios, two different appearances. One of the old man, the works of the flesh, and then the next one is the works of the Spirit. And how did you determine the difference between who is who and what's what? Is because of what the fruit is, what the outward action becomes. But yet the outward action is a result of fellowship with God, a result of fellowship with Him, not a result of, okay, quit doing that and start doing this. The reason we quit doing that and start doing this is because we have a relationship with Jesus. And because we spend time in His presence and we know whom we have believed and that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He is bringing to pass this life and this product in me. Because why? I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Exactly. Don't look, but don't look at us. Don't be disturbed by you. Okay? Because Jesus knows that when He came for you, what He was coming for. When we were without Christ or without hope, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. So His dying for us was so that He could raise us in newness of life, so we could live in newness of life. That's what He did. That's what He's producing in me. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Deanna, that's powerful. That's what He's doing in me. Amen? He's producing. He's producing joy. Because I know that He loves me. Amen? That's it. This is it. And it's when we come together, we come and we're receiving this word. So He says, young men, likewise, exhort the young men. Young, old men, exhort the young men. Exhort the young men to be sober-minded. In all things, showing yourself. Now see, he's talking about verse 6, talking about how the older men are talking to the young men. Verse 5 talks about, verse 4 and 5 talk about how the older women are teaching the younger women. Okay? Verse 4 and 5. 3 talks about how the older women are supposed to be. 4 and 5 talk about how the older women teach the younger women. Verse 6 talks about how the older men are teaching the younger men. In all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works. So in other words, you are being an example. Again, not by your strength, but by what you know that God has done. You can't do this on your, okay, I'm going to be good for these young folks. No, you have to go back to Jesus. You have to daily walk with Jesus. You have to daily know that He loves you. You see, you're living in a kingdom that is only perpetuated by the knowledge of the Holy Ghost. You can only have mercy as you receive the Holy Spirit daily. That is, you receive of His ministry every day. In all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works, and in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Now, the sincerity is the sincerity of truth, not sincerity of, gee, you know, I'm a good person. I'm trying my best for God. No, the sincerity is just no hypocrisy. Is doing away. Sincerity just means having to do with no hypocrisy. And how do you get that? Only through the Holy Ghost. Sound speech, that is speech that is wise, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary may be ashamed. In other words, just your words bring people into conviction. You realize that? You know your words bring people into conviction? Did you know that? Your words bring people into conviction. That he is of, that is of the contrary part, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. They can't even speak evil of you. They want to. They'll try to. But they can't even find a handle on you. They can't find anything to get rid of you. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. So in other words, what you're doing is the words of your mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my faith, my strength, and my redeemer. He's got my words, the words of my mouth. So in other words, when I would condemn somebody or yell at somebody or complain about somebody, I thank Him that, Father, thank You that when that complaining comes up, come to Him. Come into His presence. Father, I just thank You that you love that person through me the way that Jesus loved that woman who was taken into adultery. That woman was wicked, evil, and caught in the biggest sin. And yet Jesus dismissed all of her accusers because His desire was to raise her up and to bring her up. It's my desire to raise up the person who's been wicked to me and been my enemy. It's God's desire that everybody come to the knowledge of the truth. And if they have been in your presence and have been a wicked sinner in your presence, what's the response of that, those of us who have known the Lord and have known His mercy? Him who loveth has been loved much, forgiven much, loveth much. How much have you been forgiven? So you're a lover. Did you know that? Did you know how much you're a lover? is everyone who would come against you. You, in fact, love them with an incredible love. I'm not talking about your emotions. I'm not talking about your emotional reaction to them. I'm talking about what you know of the Holy Spirit flowing on the inside of you. And as you worship God, thank Him, worship Him, He begins to come through you and become the lover of another person's soul. Even though that person is the nastiest person on your block, the nastiest person in your office, the nastiest person in your store, the nastiest person you've come across in a business dealing forever. And you're just a mercy person. You're full of mercy. Family members who have hated you and spit on you and put you down. And it's a miracle that the Holy Ghost comes through you in the spirit of love and peace and loving kindness. That's Him. Obviously, that's Jesus. Because does Jesus love them? Yes. Has Jesus been crucified by me? Yeah, plenty. But the thing is that by the Holy Ghost, He loves me even when I hated Him. And the funny thing is, I do the same for the next person. I believe that. I believe it even if I don't feel it. I believe it even if I don't feel it. That's it. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. Not by me feeling like I love Him. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. That's right. Who is given unto us. That's right. It's by the Holy Ghost. It's always by the Holy Ghost. You know the Holy Ghost is your friend. And he's Jesus said in John chapter 14, chapter 16, chapter 17, He's talking about how when I go away, the Comforter is coming. And He's in you, He's with you, and He shall be in you. And then in Acts chapter 2, boom, there He is. He is in me. Who's in me? The Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking how I said, like the Old Testament, know not one who seeketh after God.
That's right.
But so when you put the Holy Ghost in us, so that wouldn't be true anymore, I guess. Because the Holy Ghost seeks after
God. He's talking about human. He's talking humanly. No man seeketh after God. But He's not talking about after the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. Yeah. We the Holy Ghost is deep calleth unto deep.
But in the Old Testament, did they even have the Holy Ghost in them?
Didn't have the Holy Ghost in them. Didn't have,
they couldn't see God?
They couldn't see God. God came to them.
It would come upon them.
God came to them. Nobody would have sought God at all.
But like Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was seeking God. Wasn't she?
Was she? The holy woman. See, the Scripture says it. We have to go with what the Scripture says, that none seeketh after God. They've all gone their own way. However, the law did keep the covenant and the vision before the people. Galatians says, chapter 3, which we probably look at in the morning, it says, what serves then the law? I mean, if the law is no good anymore, what's the purpose? What was the purpose of the law? It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was a schoolmaster from the very beginning of the law to bring us to Christ. So in other words, it was this framework. It was a box, like the Ark of the Covenant. It was to keep the vision and the promise and the covenant in the box. The law was, remember, the law was in the box, right? Aaron's rod that budded, the little jar of manna, God's provision. All of these things were in that ark, in that box. And to keep the vision and the promise of God until the coming of the fulfillment of it, which is who? Who? Who's the promise? I need you. No, that's evil. I want speaking.
No.
Who's the coming of the, who's the promise of the Father?
Who?
That's right. That's it. Amen? So that's what we need. We need the promise of the Father, which is His Son, Jesus. That's what it's for. That's what it's for, is to bring in to bring in the promise of the Father. That's what the law was all about. The law was just to show you what was needed was a true sacrifice. And now we have him. And it was also to keep that vision before the people. And so the priesthood and all that whole paraphernalia is what brought Mary, because she was part of the covenant people. Some even did without, but others did because of the promises, because of the law itself, followed after. But none would seek after God. If God had not provided that framework, nobody would seek after God. He had to go find Abram, remember? He had to go find Abraham. Nobody was seeking God. He had to go find Abraham. Hey, you, would you like to help me out? Would you like to be the father of many nations? Sure. What you got? What you got for him? See, he found a man who would believe. Nothing.
No, but it's what's interesting is that how many years after Noah.
See, Abraham probably knew, or if Abraham didn't know Noah, Abraham knew Shem. I believe Abraham knew Shem. So he knew
in his lifetime,
because those guys were living less and less and less. But that period of time, I believe that Abraham knew Seth. Or not Seth, but Shem. Amen? And Noah actually probably knew Seth before he died. Seth died, and then the flood came. Seth, the third son of Adam and Eve.
You're kidding.
Uh-uh. Okay, think about how long those guys lived. They overlapped. Those guys overlapped a lot because of those long lifetimes.
Anything about God.
That's right.
He had that handed down because Moses.
But the thing is Abraham didn't worship God. He worshiped a God named Sin. Funny name. Funny name for a God. But the Hebrew word doesn't mean sin like sin, but it's just kind of funny that that was his name.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your God's name? Sin. You gotta serve a God named Sin, like a boy named Sue.
It's pretty much ridiculous.
Okay, now, so let's come back here. Verse, sound speech. Your desire is to have sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part, he that is an unbeliever, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In other words, when you're believing God and walking according to his word and repent and saying what he says, declaring the word of the Lord, nobody can get you. Because you're speaking out of love. You're speaking out of a heart of agape. That's what it's all about. Your whole life is all about agape. Did you know that? Your whole life is all about unconditional love to every man and woman and child on the earth. That's what your whole life is about. Most of the churches now are all about, hey, let's have a better this and a better that. Let's have a better me and mine. Let's have a better house. Have a better car. Have a better marriage. Have a better church. It's not about loving the world. It's not about me loving the world. It's the word of the Lord, the love of God coming out of me. 9, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters. Today, how would that apply? That'd be applied to, believe, employees are definitely servants. They're paid servants, but they're servants. I mean, because your labor, how much do you get for your labor? About that much. It might as well be a slave. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not mouthing off, says not answering again, not being disrespectful, not purloining. No, purloining is stealing, not taking pencil erasers, not stealing, but showing all good faith. In other words, being honest, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. In other words, you claim to be a Christian, you're ripping the guy off. Are you talking back? No, stop it. Amen? Amen. That is, you're a lover as you're working for this guy. Whether he's a good guy, whether he's a rat. When you're working for him, you honor the office. You honor the office. Now, you don't have to stay there, obviously. If he's a rat and a stealer himself, then you can go find something else, hopefully. And ask God to find you something else. But as far as being rude and ugly to that person, that's not a witness to them. You say, well, they don't want to be witnessed to. I don't care. When you witness, they're witnessed to. Amen? When you are a witness, when Jesus Christ flows through you, you're a witness whether they want to be witnessed to or not. They can't help but see the love of Jesus Christ flowing through you. They don't want to see it. No! I believe that person is just, you know, a rotten person, they would say. Or a person who's just blowing their religion at me. But the fact is, if you're walking in the love of Jesus Christ, they cannot help but be witnessed to. They can't help but see the witness of Christ. Amen? Even if they fire you over it, too late. They've already been God. They've already been inoculated. That's it. They've already seen the love of Jesus Christ. They have no excuse. Amen. Say that circumstance over there at that other store. They can't say that you did not love them and minister to them and witness to them. They want to make an excuse. They have no excuse. You're going to have to answer to God. Amen? Because God watches after His own. You. For the grace of God that brings, verse 11. For the grace of God, let me finish 10. Not stealing, but showing good faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of God. In other words, you kind of put a star on top of the doctrine of God. Here's the doctrine of God, and now you're just kind of putting the period or the exclamation point. It's because you're a demonstration of what the Word of God promises. Here it is, right here, in me. You're the exclamation point behind the Word of God. When the promise of God is fulfilled in you and people see it, that's the amen. That's the amen. Oh my gosh, it really does happen. Somebody is a real Christian. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation, here it is, has appeared to all men. Where? Where did it appear? In me. Do you know people see you? They can't help it. They see the Holy Ghost. So the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live. So this is what he's teaching us, that as we deny ungodliness, put it away, and worldly lusts, put those away, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's a promise, isn't it? That's not a command, that's a promise. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. The should is not finger in your face. The should is, that's how this works. It's because the Holy Ghost is in you that living godly in this present world is possible. But it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember what he said? Don't leave town until you get this gift. He told the disciples, now don't go, don't do anything. He knew it. He knew those guys. Don't even try this at home. You know, don't try this at home. Wait till you get the power from on high. You got the power from on high? Amen.
Eight days after?
Yeah. It's when Jesus appeared on the shore.
Oh, it was 8 days after?
Mm-hmm, yeah. In John. 8 days afterward, a week later. He appeared twice there in that first day. You know, and then of course he talks about how he appeared, you know, the same evening in Luke, he talks about how he appeared to them in Emmaus, you know, on the road to Emmaus.
Right.
And then they departed and went to Jerusalem, and then there he was again. Well, he ran fast. He beat him to Jerusalem. That's right. They stopped in Emmaus, and then all of a sudden Jesus appeared to them, and they saw him as Jesus, and then he vanished out of their sight, and then they got up and left the house and ran down to Jerusalem. And then all of a sudden he appeared in that room.
Where were they when they first saw Emmaus?
Mm-hmm.
And then where?
Then in town, down in Jerusalem. They went down to talk to the other apostles and say, "Hey, we just saw the Lord."
Was Emmaus close to Jerusalem?
Yes, close.
Then
8 days later. Now, see, we don't know exactly, but that was the same day.
So after they'd seen him, you're saying they went fishing? They went back to fishing?
No, that was that was the week afterwards. That was that next week. You can read that in John. They went the next week. In John, it talks about how he appeared to them. And then he appeared to them again when Thomas was there. I'm thinking that's probably within a 24-hour period. And then 8 days later, if I remember the scripture properly, it says 8 days later, he appeared to them. They went, you know, John, "Hey, we're going to go fishing. I'm going fishing." So he goes fishing, and here's the Lord cooking fish out on the shore. And when they took nothing, you know, they went back to work. He says, "Hey, throw your net over on the other side."
Okay. What were they supposed to do? He had told them to go out in all the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
No, he hadn't told them.
Not yet.
So what were they?
He's spending time with them over that 40-day. See that 40-day period between the time he rose again, and he would appear from time, you know.
Kind of real gently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we don't have all the details.
I wonder if they went back to their wives.
I hope they did. Had to sometime. Okay. Now, verse 13. So we should, verse 12, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. We should expect that. Do you expect it? Do you expect it? I expect it. Even though I know I'll trip and fall, I expect from my heart that I will live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. That's what I expect because that's what he promised. That's what I expect. So when I fail, I go to him and I thank him for his forgiveness and for his empowering. I thank him for his empowering because that's what he promised. And here he said it again. He said that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. We're always expectant for the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself. He's making himself a peculiar people, a particular people, not a weird people. Peculiar, this word sounds like weird people. A peculiar, a special people, a people that are designed specifically for him, that he's created, he made his own people. Abraham wasn't anybody. He made a people out of Abraham, but he wasn't no people. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Did you know you're zealous of good works? You know you're excited about good works? That's what he said here. "No, I don't feel like I am." I don't care what you feel like, you think you are. Here's what he promised was. Say, from my heart, this is the truth. So I believe what he says. Yes. Yahoo.
Excited
about doing good works. Expectantly excited about seeing good works coming out of me. I'm expecting. It's like having a baby. It's like a woman pregnant. Zealous would be pregnant for good works, and you're excited about it coming, about it happening. Not the labor part, but excited about the result. When the labor's over, the mom is like, "Yeah." Woo, look at this. Look, Mabel. You know, showing off. Showing off your baby. Not because you're proud of you, but because you're proud of God. Look at the fruit he produced. These things speak. These things speak. All of these things I just said, he's telling Titus. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. In other words, I'm giving you all authority. Jesus said to the disciples, what? All authority is given unto me. Go ye, therefore. God sent me, I sent you. These things speak and exhort. And that's talking about on you too. Speak these things. Exhort these things. When you're talking to a young woman, tell her what to do. Tell her how to live. That's right. You are. Praise the Lord. It's because you're wise unto the things of God. And there are young women in the Lord who need to be here. Right. Same thing with Margaret. Amen. Is that those who have been in the faith and who have been through some living, been through some fire, know what it is to be under the world and to be under God. And so you're teaching these young women. Amen?
Yeah, that's where my heart is. Just, again, I like some people talk about this in a nursing home for doing something like that. But I think about it.
Amen. You honor the older people by going to the nursing home.
Well, I mean, you know, but, like
but to really teach, yeah. Right, but he's not talking about that internal part. He's talking about this temporal part. When you have younger women that are just ignorant, they're stupid. There's a lot of those too. But he's talking specifically about teaching those younger women as they're coming up so they don't live foolishly. They don't give away their lives. So they, in fact, grow up and teach their children these things. Amen? These things... Think about. No? What'd that say?
Speak.
Speak and exhort. That is, say it with strength, with conviction, and rebuke. Oh, man, it's even bigger. No, no. He said, no, honey, don't do that. Rebuke. She hurt my feelings. Too bad. She's telling you the truth. That woman over there, she, you know, told me to quit yapping and complaining, slapping at my kids. Yeah, teach her how to discipline her children. Now teach her, you know, discipline them with proper discipline, not just chasing them around, slapping at them. Teach her how to not be a busybody. Teach her how to not be a complainer. Amen? Teach these young women how to be godly. And let no man despise you. Oh, wow, that's a good word. That last verse right there. Let no man despise you. Don't take any people despising you. Don't you receive it. Every word they rise up against with you in judgment, you condemn. No. Let no man despise you. Now, of course, in this particular thing he's talking about, also Titus, as Timothy was a young man. And he said, let no man despise your youth in his case. But I tell you what, you're speaking, when you're speaking, is let no man despise you if you're speaking the word of God. Amen? In other words, don't receive a condemnation when you know that the word of God is coming out of you.
Stand bold.
Because some people are real good at knowing how to slice you up with their tongue. Amen? So we don't receive that. Even though it hurts me, I don't receive it. I don't have to receive those words. What power does that person have over me? That person has no power over me. Chop, 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 chop me up. No. In fact, I love them because they don't know what they're doing. Father, what did Jesus say?
Forgive them.
They
know not what
they do. They don't know what they're doing. They, you know, they don't even know. They don't even know who I am. They don't know what they're doing.
That's to the world foolishness, but God takes us the foolishness of the world.
That's right. That's it.
Amen.
Speak the things which become sound doctrine. Speak sound doctrine. That's what he's telling us tonight. Amen.